fields of bodies burning as the war machine keeps turning. Death and hatred to mankind, poisoning their brainwashed minds. Oh, Lord, yeah.
Hi, this is Bob Petrakis bringing you the other side of the news.
And I'm Dan Dugan, the other guy on the other side. WGRN, the Green Renaissance.
Hi, this is Bob Petrakis bringing you the other side of the news with Dan Dugan.
And I'm the other guy on the other side of the news. And this is what community sounds like.
All right, don't make me chant. This is what community sounds like.
Or should we try to put a radio in there? Nah, we'll just leave it as it is.
That's right.
So the big news, yeah, right, there's so much going on in this crazy world. Cambridge Analytica.
Tom Harker, did he not say it was a crazy old world?
Oh, yeah, I think he did, several times. That's our friend the ukulele man, folks. It is a
May
crazy old world.
May he rest in peace.
Or it's a
mad
world. Yeah, starring Red Buttons. He was the star of that movie. Cambridge Analytica, and our old friend Steve Bannon seems to be dominating some news cycles and some outlets right now. You want to sort of break that down for us, Dr. Petrakis?
Well, we live in the era of mega data versus Goliath. And the Goliath is the American political system, which is being taken down by those who are expert data hoarders, right? Everything matters, right? We live in a society where policy is not decided by facts. It's decided by emotions. So Cambridge...
And the appearance of facts, right?
Yeah.
That can stir your emotions.
Sure. But right. The facts don't matter as much as the wedge issue. Really what matters is the narrative.
There you go.
Right?
And
the hot buttons that get touched
sure.
in that narrative. As somebody yourself who dated Crooked Hillary.
Oh, yeah, many times.
Yes.
Right. It's kind of like referring to the so-called pro-life people when they really should be called anti-choice. It's a matter of perception and how it's to be framed, right?
Exactly. But Cambridge Analytica was able to go on to Facebook and, you know, do their little quiz interviews, get people to fill out a survey.
Oh, sure. I love those.
But what they also were able to grab was not only the data that you put in and all your data, but all your friends' data.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And what becomes really valuable there is they know exactly
sorry, friends.
What you like, right? Because you're like, and not only that,
uh-huh.
what we call the analytics, right? Your tone. They know what moves you, what buttons the push.
Wow.
Because they know, I hate it. I hate it so bad when they put dogs up and they die.
Well, I tried
animal
to,
rights.
I tried to confuse them a few years ago by telling them I liked Sarah Palin. And then I was being honest when I said I liked John Philip Sousa, but I continued to get information about those two things. But anyway, that's just my way of dealing with
but
it.
But yeah, I mean, just a tremendous amount of information they have if they get a hold of your analytics, the stuff that you write, your tone. And in many cases, the stuff, there's also software out there, the stuff that you wrote but didn't put down, you know, the old Carrier IQ software that actually records your keystrokes even if you don't enter them. So there's this
Whoa.
Tremendous amount of data. And they also know,
right,
geospatial as well. That is where your phone was and what proximity
uh-huh.
it was
right.
with other people's phones who were your friends. So it's possible to create narratives and groundswells, and where everyone thinks very similar with all this data, which really outlines what you like, what you dislike, who you like
tendencies,
to poke, things that move you in an emotional way. They've got all that data. And with that, that is perfect. because a lot of it can be magnified, and it's not. There's only a few of your friends out there that think in a certain way, and somehow you may gravitate to that because you're being pushed by all these bots, by all these automated non-entities that are pushing these narratives and storylines and pushing information and news, much of it, in fact, fake news or really distorted, biased news, what we'd call
propaganda. Or like
propaganda.
In the Olympics, the way there's a whole lot of coverage of curling, for instance, you know, and it's I personally don't think it's that popular, but it's been made to look popular. That was supposed to be a joke, folks. And, I know it's a really popular sport.
I've always
and the sale of brooms went through the roof.
But I always liked curling.
Yeah,
but I used to watch it as a child in Detroit.
Sure,
the fourth channel was the Canadian the Broadcast Corporation.
Okay. So anyway, so it takes tendencies or preferences, and then it feeds you other information that would.
Right. Well, nobody likes Hillary Clinton. Mm. Hillary Clinton isn't trustworthy.
She should be locked up. And
she's crooked.
And I shouldn't have dated her in the first place.
Over the emails, yes.
Right, yeah. And she, yeah, well.
So they can sweep up, all this information and create these little fake tornadoes and whirlwinds.
Sure.
And influence people.
So now how did they run afoul of the English press and subsequently.
Well, they weren't supposed to have all that information about from your friends. They weren't supposed to have all that data.
Right.
The kind of data that makes you easily manipulated.
Well, I'm not, but you know, that's because I stick by my Sarah Palin and John Philip Sousa likes. So
all right, so you've got the whole question of. Sarah Palin, like her or not.
But Steve Bannon helped found this Cambridge company.
Well, he was
company,
working with it.
Right?
It was Mr. Mercer, the very rich man who pumped a lot of money into this. And there was actually a huge debate within the Trump campaign is whether they could even be trusted. You remember there was
Steve Bannon could be trusted?
No, whether Cambridge Analytica.
Well, yeah.
Because in some ways, right, it's like part PR firm,
sure.
Part private CIA.
Uh-huh.
They're grabbing all this data, like their NSA, CIA, PR firm.
But what did they do? What they did wrong was grabbing the friends' information.
Right, is that you thought you were filling out a nice little survey that was pretty basic, and really where they were sucking all that data out of Facebook.
And thus they used it to influence the election.
Oh, right? Absolutely. Okay. They knew what words, what phrases, drain the swamp, you know.
Right.
Which
lock her up, drain the swamp.
Right, here it is. I mean, drain the swamp. You've got that appeals to Trump people because low IQ people, right? It's an old cliche.
Oh, here we go with that.
Right?
That
it's
deplorables,
an old cliche,
the grab bag of deplorables
again. It was used,
huh?
Right? We owe props to Pat Buchanan.
You bunch of dummies! How dare you go out there and vote?
No, they are. You know, they're like
who are?
They're ignorant.
I know some people that are. I know deadheads that voted for
cliche.
Trump. They're not necessarily stupid, Bob.
No,
are they?
They're ignorant, which is different.
Well, I mean, they're deadheads, which means they can't dance. But you know
they're
what I'm saying?
They're non-factual. They're ignorant. They're willfully don't look up the history.
Okay.
What's the history of drain the swamp? The man who made that famous was Pat Buchanan.
Oh, I thought that started back when they built the Capitol itself. But anyway.
Well. I mean, in terms of modern
politics.
With slave
labor, that's when America was great.
The corruption of modern politics. But to take an old cliche and to take someone like Trump, you know, who's just desperate to be an insider and who comes in and, of course, logically, gives a 10% military boost and gives tax breaks to the richest people, that's not draining the swamp. You know?
Well, I agree with that. I mean, certainly. So.
But it was an old cliche.
You're saying some people buy into the fact that they think it. That's
right.
What's
I
going
mean, why
on.
Would you
sure.
think? Well, in Donald
people are
Trump's
gullible. Obviously,
wife, why would you think he would do anything other than that which enriched himself? I mean, he's, you know, he looks like he spent his career money laundering for the Russian mob.
Yeah.
I mean, why would he suddenly, why would the money launderer for the Russian mob suddenly be this populist campaign? He was a billionaire, and at one point, arguably the poorest man in the world when the real estate market crashed in New York. But if you kind of look, a lot of it is really, you know, junior high. Now we'd say middle school name calling, right? Everyone gets a name like Crooked Hillary.
Right.
Everything's a cliche. And that is not based on people being stupid. It's based on people being ignorant of a couple things. Anti-intellectualism in American history,
sure.
Richard Hofstadter's famous
sure.
book. And this and Hofstadter wrote another book.
This happens throughout history.
Paranoid
in
style,
most societies.
Paranoid style in American politics, where people think there's all these conspiracies and, you know, the
right.
FBI, two people are writing back and forth to each other that are having an affair. It must be a secret society. But let's move away from...
Well, how does this work in with Facebook, though, there, and Mr. Zuckerberg having to apologize or something along
Facebook,
those lines?
Facebook
he didn't accept
tell us.
Guilt, but...
It's like, hi, I am allowing Donald Trump's people, Cambridge Analytica, to come in and suck up all this data that you think is private between you and your
right,
friends.
Right.
They're going to suck up this data and get this reactionary figure, this totally self-centered egomaniac man elected president because Zuckerberg allowed him to do it. Yeah,
right.
And Zuckerberg doesn't need the money.
And Zuckerberg initially claimed he didn't know about this or something
to
that effect.
So the question is, why doesn't the guy in charge know how his mega data,
right.
perhaps the most copious and abundant of all data on the planet, is being used and being used to bring us the most unpopular president in American history?
And so moving forward, as folks like to say in the business world, Zuckerberg vows not to let this happen again, right?
Well, he may not. Hopefully.
I mean, you know.
You remember my...
I think we've heard these
remember,
kind of things
before. MySpace.
Okay.
Which really
not really,
down.
But yeah.
Yeah, MySpace, which was Facebook before Facebook, when Rupert Murdoch bought it, and everyone knew what a reactionary and really criminal man, right? His company hacked the phones of the victims of 9/11. People switched. People went to Facebook and got rid of MySpace.
And so now people are talking about dumping Facebook. Do you recommend this yourself?
Well, it depends. If I think, you know, they gave us Trump, and I think it will inevitably cause people to gravitate to other sites. And also, people should be very wary about what they write about.
Well, I've always felt that way.
Every key stroke, whether you enter it or not, is being recorded by somebody.
If you recall, during the Arab Spring, a lot of what fueled it, a lot of how they were communicating was through social media. And it seemed to me that perhaps some or many of the people that got arrested as a result of what they said on social media. So be careful out there, folks, especially if you really are a leftist revolutionary.
This is WGRN 94.1.
We're the other side of the news. I'm Dan Dugan. That's Dr. Bob Petrakis, and this is what community sounds like. So we have some local news we'd like to discuss. First of all, our friends from the Pride 4 were sentenced last week.
Yes, the Black Pride 4 were sentenced.
Sorry, Black
I believe,
Pride 4.
I believe excessively. All of them are on 2 years probation, which is a growing trend at
the years,
court.
2 years probation and community service and fines of $250. Right?
Yes, and while they didn't do any jail time, look, these were classic First Amendment speech activities: freedom of the press, freedom of association, freedom
right.
to speak.
Right.
And again, they were attacked immediately by the police, the Columbus police. And I'd like to give the New York Times a shout out on its front page. Just a few days ago, they pointed out with the new body cams police are caught, quote, test-a-lying. Usually it's only placed places like the Free Press you see test-a-lying. But they also pointed out how these body cams, the police will, you know, make stuff up, not supported by the body cam.
Right.
And that we've got to realize that instead of, you know, believing the police are telling the truth, realize that most of them are lying, and they bring with them a variety of prejudice, particularly here in Columbus, right? They're primarily a white army of occupation that lives out in the rural counties surrounding Franklin County and come in, and granted they do tough jobs, and many of them make it tougher. And we should point out Zach Rosen, the people in the area he patrols, the North Linden area, actually put his picture up on posters when he was returned to the police force by an arbitrator after being fired. They said, you know, be aware of this guy, right. Yeah, you know, look at this guy.
Have you seen this dog?
Yeah. Have you seen this head stomper?
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen this guy who shot Henry Green?
And this year, the Pride people and some of the Pride folks are going to have alternative events and an alternative festival coming up in June.
Hoping to get back to the roots. That Stonewall was a riot, and we mean that literally.
Yeah.
People stood up, fought back.
And you know, one thing I noticed with the Pride Parade is how many corporate sponsors. It's just, it almost seems like this wild orgy of free stuff thrown out and all these great big buses and all, you know, it's a very corporate thing. So is that to be sort of turned aside a bit too in the alternative one? I wonder. We'll see, I guess.
Yeah,
we'll
they're saying they're going back to the roots. They're making it political. They're making it, you know, resistance. They're trying to change things.
Because as some people said, and many people have said, that that these kids had a right to step up and do what they did.
Absolutely.
Hold up the parade for a moment.
Traditional.
For victims of police violence.
First Amendment free speech.
Yep.
And once again, the city of Columbus allows its police officers to brutalize the most vulnerable people in our society, you know, gay, lesbian, trans, bisexual, queer individuals. They were brutalized, the most vulnerable in our society. And the city council and its machine down there is never going to take on the FOP. By God, the only thing you can do is thank them all, even if some of them are absolutely brutal thugs.
Well, I do understand that, you know, we should back the police officers in certain cases, like the poor gentleman that were shot in Westerville. But, Bob, I have a question.
I would argue there's a big difference between suburban police and
and what's going on here in Columbus. Sure,
and in Columbus.
Sure.
It's usually all the guys that aren't like those Westerville police, the ones that have been fired, that didn't meet probation. Those are the people they send into Columbus, fired for
the
being nasty
ones,
in Westerville. And
well, here's my question, though. As part of the honoring and the fallen police officers in Westerville, and it's Westerville Strong, they have American flags, though, that are like sort of black and white, and I'm not really. Have you seen those? They're like a different American flag. I was wondering if you knew what is that?
Right,
by the way,
we should probably look it up. But
well, there you go.
Yeah,
I'm sure someone out there knows. We'll find out soon. But it just sort of popped into my head.
I've seen
what is that about? So anyway,
I'm wondering whether it's a memorial flag. You know.
Yeah.
View the American flag as opposed to flying it at half mast. But maybe our producer will figure out what the
there
black
you go.
And white American flag
we'll
is.
Well, your lovely better
what
half
it,
right on that.
What
aren't we high tech? So there's also quite a bit of electoral news involving both Ohio and Kansas. In the state of Ohio, the budget has included money to replace voting machines. Do you have any opinions on that, Dr. Fitrakis?
Well, first of all, I believe we should go back to the best technology, paper and pen. to vote, but since that's not going to happen, here are my thoughts. Number one, every machine must have a paper ballot.
Absolutely.
There can't be any of these DREs, direct recording electronics,
okay,
that are these kind of push and pray faith-based machines.
Push and pray,
there's
push
no actual
pray, yeah,
ballot.
Right.
You push and you pray to God that it's calibrated right. They have these special words, like when your vote hops, you push for John Kerry and it hops to George W. Bush. They call it a calibration problem. It's like, no, you just stole my vote. You just flipped my vote. So that's a problem as well. So John Husted has made the point, and I hardly ever agree with the Secretary of State, but Mr. Husted has said that every machine that's bought should have a ballot, a paper ballot that can be recounted. Here was the problem in 2016. You go to recount Pennsylvania, 86% of their machines have no paper ballots. There's nothing to recount. You just push the button and you get the same results out, and the recount took, 3 seconds.
So what do you think our chances are of getting some voting machines that would serve that purpose?
Well, I think you've left it up to the county, which is a bad mistake. They have till August to decide. But really, all of them need to have a machine that has audit features so we can tell who went in and did what. And you can work with the audit feature against the ballot images. So a lot of this technology was developed for banking. We should use it to secure the votes and the programming of the machines. We should not allow secret programming from for-profit proprietary companies. We should use open source. Everyone should be able to look at that code and see if anyone's tampered in it. You know, it's like, because apparently computers can be programmed. So, in fact, I hear there's an occupation called computer programming.
No kidding.
So what you want to do is look at that code to make sure someone said, okay, here's the results. 51% for Trump, 49% for Hillary.
Welcome to the future. So meanwhile, in Kansas, the Secretary of State Kobach, who had blocked tens of thousands of voters,
an estimated 30,000 people,
by the courts,
citizens legitimately allowed to vote who had signed up at a Bureau of Motor Vehicles. He refused.
Which was a Republican idea in the first place, right? Was it? Or was it?
No, I don't think it was, but it was more bipartisan.
Right.
That, let's get people to vote.
No, that's right. Actually, it wasn't. That's right.
It's up to the state, right? It's up to the state to decide. And he isn't going to allow this federal bill to come in and allow people to easily vote. So he would, it's a state's rights. Minimalist government.
Right.
But really what it's all about is making sure black people and poor people,
Hispanics,
Hispanics, Asian Americans, because that's Kobach's hit list. He was a bigoted attorney who hated immigrants, and now he's the Secretary of State of Kansas, and a federal judge scolded him, gave him a old-fashioned tongue lashing.
Okay, yeah, right.
And again, the ACLU has sued him over denying Americans the right to vote. Nothing could be more un-American than denying American citizens
the right to vote
because you're racist and xenophobic, as is Chris Kobach.
Right, and you should be allowed to vote even if you are racist and xenophobic. So there. Because we believe in fair voting.
Shockingly, everyone who's a citizen should be allowed to vote.
Hey, we'd also like to remind people, here's a little bit I've got in my notes. This Saturday, March 24th, this deals, of course, with the guns issue. National March for Lives will be happening here in Columbus at 11 a.m. on the southwest, west bank of the Scioto, West Bank Park, as a matter of fact. So it is, By COSAI, the Center of Science and Industry.
By
and
COSI, nationally, the old Italian
there'll
style.
There'll be lots of
restaurant.
Events. And I'm sure you folks will be out for that. Oh, in the meantime, you know, there was a trophy ban that was ended on elephant hunting, it seems. But yet we see a parade of Trump trophies coming through in terms of these females. And they continue to make some news. Are we going to have any time left on the show to discuss that, Bob? I always want to talk about my favorite porn name,
Dan,
Stormy Daniels.
Dan, no, this is the way I see it. It's between Trump, the First Lady, and his 19 porn stars.
Maybe we get tag
what
team.
What right do we have to get in the middle of this? There's 19
right, just sit
of
back
them
and enjoy.
That have either been assaulted
right.
or a porn star
right.
or a playmate. We got to be accurate. Faction. It's between him, his wife, and his porn stars.
But is this a serious threat to his presidency? I mean, I've heard that it is, but...
Well, if he was a normal president, probably one porn star alleging
right.
unprotected
would be enough.
Sense
yeah.
would be enough. But
that he paid off with campaign
Donald
funds.
Donald Trump.
Right.
And he believes he has the sovereign right to pay off numerous porn stars. As
yeah.
well as some Playboy bunnies.
Right. And it should be just forgiven because now that he's the president, it's okay.
And the worst
okay.
part is, if you look at MSNBC or CNN, they'll drag out, there'll always be at least one pro-Trump person, maybe two on these large panels. And they'll go, what's the big deal?
Yeah.
Everyone knew he was humping porn stars.
Right.
He's a billionaire. And
right.
you're going, okay.
Well, Bill Clinton messing around was a big deal, so... Hey, in the meantime, Suzanne Patzer, our lovely producer and Bob's better half, informed me, the uninformed, that the blue in the flag I'm asking about is, so it's apparently blue and black. I was thinking it was black and white, but the blue is for officers' courage, and the black is a reminder of fallen officers. So there you go. So it's okay to change the flag in that use, right, I guess. So,
okay.
Right.
Well,
just so you know. I'm glad we got that.
I think everyone should be allowed to change the flag.
I needed to know. I was curious about that.
I think it's part of a free society.
Sure. You want to put a peace sign on it, go right ahead. I'd say that's okay. Rainbow flags. So why not? You know, there's one last thing we could discuss. That would be the Four Easter, another storm raging across the United States. And we continue to...
I see it as punishment from...
From up above?
No, from the Mother Goddess. Gaia.
The Mother Goddess. That's what I meant.
Gaia is
yeah,
punishing
right,
us
right.
because of Trump.
Aha. I kind of like that thought. That does kind of get somewhere like when Robertson was blaming
it's like Mother Nature.
Katrina on the fact that the New Orleans homosexuals were dancing in Mardi Gras.
Nice.
To mess with
Mother
Well, you know,
Mother
that's one of my questions.
Trump.
Why don't right-wing Christians believe that God is punishing us and in the form of the environment and thus believe in climate change? I don't know.
Because they're not liberal and they don't like scientific facts. They don't like these long-term warming trends and up, down. What they like... They don't care.
Ah, the weather's
As
always
it was
changing,
said, they don't, you know,
especially
by
in the Midwest.
Bryan, right? They don't like the age of rocks. They like the rock of ages.
Oh, that's beautiful, Bob.
Well,
that's
you.
Probably going to be it. We're on the other side of the news. I'm Dan Dugan.
And this is Bob Fitriegan.
This is what community sounds like.
Peace. Thanks for listening to The Other Side of the News. This is Bob Fitriegan.
And Dan Dugan, WGRN 94.1 LPFM, The Green Renaissance.